Hey everybody, I'm Bishop Michael Nesby, the pastor of the Gathering of Believers Church, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase podcast. Keep it locked.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase. This is your host, Gregory Proctor. Today, I'd like to signify that we are starting season 4. Yes, that's right, people. Season 4. So episode 76, entitled, Your Comfort is an Enemy to Your Destiny. Now, everybody out there that knows about Cut to the Chase, why I started Cut to the Chase, and the whole fallacy of basically being able to provide a platform for friends, family, and professional colleagues, basically to talk about things that impact our ability to thrive. And so what best way to really kick off season 4 than to bring a family member into the fold and have a very intellectual type conversation related to your comfort is an enemy to your destiny. And so as everybody that has listened to a lot of our episodes before, I have found a most tangible quote that really kind of aligns to what we're going to talk about today. And I'd like to read that. The quote goes, "We fight too many battles that don't matter. If that battle isn't between you and your destiny, then it's a distraction. You have to learn to let things go." And so I'm going to kind of jump into introducing our featured guest today. And he's someone that certainly I consider a brother. He's a family member. He's been a friend. He's been someone that I can rely upon. He's been a part of the man cave discussions. And I tell you, you know, we've embraced him since the early days of him marrying my cousin. And it's just been a true, true blessing. And so to our featured guest, he was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, the youngest of 5 children. He attended and graduated from Atlanta Public School and went on to Morris Brown College, where he was in the marching band, the Marching Wolverine Band, as a member of the drumline and drum major. He received his associate degree in biblical studies from Anderson Theological Seminary, and he also is currently working towards completing his bachelor's degree in theology. Since the age of 11, he has served in music ministry, and throughout his musical career, he shared the stage with many great gospel artists, pastors, and bishops. He served as a minister of music in Atlanta Chapter, GMWA Youth, and Mass Choir. He's also served in Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship from 1996 to 2007 in the state of Georgia. And then in Mississippi, he served as a state minister of music and ministry of music in Central Southwest District. He's become a member of the Gospel Community Music Workshops of America since 1994 and has recently served as the assistant chapter representative of the Greater Jackson Chapter GMWA. He's also been a preacher of God's Word. So I'm going to say that one more time, folks. He's also been a preacher of God's Word since July 19th of 1997. And God has favored him with the opportunity to preach the gospel in various services, revivals, conferences, many cities and states and countries. During his pastoral journey, he has served on 2 congregations, where now he serves in his own congregation of the Gathering of Believers Church since 2013. In 2009, he was duly sequestrated and elevated as a prestigious prelated founder of the Abundance Faith Covenant Fellowship. He's a father. He's a husband. He's a grandfather. He's well known in the educational community for helping young kids understand what it takes to survive in today's world and in today's society. He is a person, as I stated earlier, not only is he a family member, but without a doubt, you know, a great individual, spiritual, as well as internal and external, that I would no longer like to further ado and introduce you guys to Mr. Bishop Michael Nesbitt. Do you have any opening remarks there, sir?
Wow. I'm kind of lost. I'm trying to figure who you're talking about, actually. Well, there's only one thing. I was actually started preaching in 1987. I was 17 years old. In 1987, I got my call to ministry. I would just like to say thank you for allowing me to come and be a part of Cut to the Chase. It's a different experience for me because I'm being pulled out of my comfort zone quite a bit. It sounds weird coming from a preacher because we're always in the speaking zones, but this is a little bit out of the realm that I normally operate in, but I'm excited to be with you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, definitely we're delighted to have you on board. And I think, you know, the topic that we're going to be talking about today, your comfort is the enemy to your destiny, which is kind of a mantra that you live by. I mean, you know, you've kind of built your life statement on your comfort is an enemy to your destiny. And so my first question to you before we dive into too many of the other questions is, what does that mean? You know, coming from you, that your comfort is the enemy to your destiny.
Well, it starts with the way I was raised. I was raised in public housing in Atlanta, Georgia. My mom was a disabled person, but yet nothing ever stopped her from doing what she wanted to do. She's always, even with a physical disability, she still held down a job, still worked, and she never allowed me to settle for what was comfortable. I think the major thing that I wanted people to understand is that comfort, and we'll get deeper into it, I'm sure, but comfort really is this chasm of saying, okay, I'm good where I am, when in fact there's more to us than meets the eye. So I think it kind of comes that mantra became a part of my life around about 1992, 93, I think it was. And I was actually playing for a church, and the preacher was talking about don't settle here. And it began to just kind of get in my spirit, and I couldn't shake it. And so one day I was just sitting down writing, and I was doing something. I was giving to preach somewhere, I think it was, and they asked me, what's my statement for life? And it came about just out of nowhere. Your comfort is an enemy. And the truth of the matter is it's a known fact that comfort is a direct enemy to destiny, because it is, destiny stretches you, comfort snuggles you, if you will.
Very good insight. You know, certainly there's just so many things, you know, that are relatable to what you've just stated. And I think overall, you know, within the minority communities, you know, a lot of us have experienced just what you've talked about, you know, as far as our upbringing and how we were raised not to ever settle. And in a lot of cases, you know, and even if you take this back, you know, a few, you know, hundreds of years or even, you know, much, much sooner than that, when you start to consider the fact that when your mindset is put into a place of oppression or your mindset is put into a place of survival, you can never really feel comfortable in anything that you do because of the simple fact that you never know who's watching you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's still transcending today in society based on the fact that comfort, you know, in the minority communities is something that you really just don't quite feel, you know, embraced, you know, from a standpoint of ever being comfortable. And, you know, I can speak from a standpoint of all the things that I've done from a career perspective and realize that that comfort was never really something that I've ever felt in a lot of the different environments that I've worked in, because I was always the only one, the only minority in, mm-hmm. in the roles and responsibilities. And so, you know, the aspect of this being kind of your life statement and your life's work, which started when you were a little child, you know, that really kind of gravitates to a point of where we are today in society. You know, we just went through this, you know, tumultuous 4 years, and now we're into a new genre of, you know, a POTUS being in office. Right. And, you know, people just can't let their guard down and think that this is a comfortable situation, because we still have a lot of these skeletons out there in the closet that you don't know if they're your neighbor. You don't know if they're your friend. I mean, you just can't get too comfortable. And so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think number one, we must remember that anytime someone gets comfortable, when we get comfortable, we tend to literally relax everything. Our mind, our inhibitions, our prohibitions, everything relaxes. And the danger of that is most times when we are trying to focus on going forward and we become comfortable, there's this lackadaisical spirit that will hits us. We'll get, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. And what happens most of the time is comfort, in a nutshell, comfort oftentimes cripples us from seeing greater. I never shall forget. I was, we were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana some time ago. And my pastor, Bishop Johnson, said to us, we were sitting down eating at a restaurant. He says, don't worry about getting a building. When the building shows up, you'll know it. And he said, don't get comfortable where you are, because you got to always seek more. And I think the question that I always pose is, even now, is that even though we are, we're in day number, but we're in the second day of the new administration in the White House, how comfortable can we become? We can't, because what comfort does, if when we become comfortable, we wind up having another January 6th. When we become comfortable, we wind up having another Proud Boys group raise up. When we become comfortable, because that's not foreign terrorism, that was domestic. So therefore, when we become comfortable, we tend to sometimes relieve ourselves of this desire to be on alert. In military, I never served in military, but my brother served the military, and you served the military. They always taught him in the Army is be active, be alert, be active, be alert. In other words, remain active, but be alert on what's going on. Learn your surroundings. In my in my former life, when I was out in the streets of Atlanta, I was out, and to this very day, I don't sit with my back to a door. I'm always watching, because I need to know what's going on. Because again, when you become comfortable, you allow things to happen that would not normally happen if you're on guard. And so, and even in our community, and in the African American community, in the color community of color, we've allowed a lot of things to just kind of go unnoticed, because we've gotten comfortable with a handout here, a handout there, a spoon here, a spoon there, when we in fact have the ability to take over the whole street, the whole block. We'll settle for we settle for the corner when the whole block could be ours.
Yeah, you're spot on. You know, when you mention that, it kind of resonates that, you know, comfort is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. I mean, it's stagnant. It's very complacent, you know. And one of the biggest ironies when we try and stay in our, you know, life's comfort, it provides us with more discomfort, you know. I mean, it is kind of, it's kind of an opposite effect, you know, and people tend to think that, yep, this is great. And really there's a lot of discomfort that goes on. And what I've seen, you know, in my journey is the fact that, you know, that transformation of, as we've been talking about here for a couple minutes, of keeping yourself aware and your heightened alertness, you know, allows for you to take action. It allows for you to push past that comfort. It allows for you to grow and flourish and basically challenge the norm, you know, and get out of that sense of comfort and push those boundaries, because every now and then we've got to be in a position to be able to speak up for ourselves. And like you said earlier, not take that handout. You know, these things are things that we have just systemically allowed for ourselves to just fall into this tranche of acceptance, when really, you know, we should be on the forefront. Like you said, you know, we should be on the forefront of owning the block, owning the street, and allowing for ourselves to basically be out there on the front line. Right. And I'm going to segue here just 1 minute and just basically indicate, you know, where I'm coming from when I say this, because, you know, folks that are listening to this podcast, you know what? We're on the NBA circuit. We're on the football circuit. We're on the music circuit. We're on the gospel circuit. We're on this, we're on that. But help me understand, why don't we own a bank? Why don't we have our own football team? Why don't we have our own basketball team? Why don't we have our own housing development, you know, our own resorts, this, that, and the other? I mean, we have settled in a way that is so unprecedented that we cannot allow for ourselves to say, well, why do others have and we don't? Because it's about that transformation. Go ahead.
Well, part of that is complacency.
That's right.
And I say this oftentimes, it's amazing to me that when you look at the NFL, there are more people, men of color, that are operating on those teams, quarterbacks, receivers, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But not many coaches of color. Matter of fact, we have now the Falcons just hired the first African American GM, and then on top of that, but we don't have not one minority owner. We don't have not one owner that is of color that owns a football team. We don't have. When you look at baseball, Magic Johnson was able to get a piece of part of the Dodgers, but that's about it. You don't have any. You got Michael Jordan is the only African American owner that owns the whole team, not a part owner, but he owns the team. But even with that, back in the day, there was this thing called Black Wall Street.
Right.
Black Wall Street had its doctors, its lawyers. It owned the block. It owned their own health care. Even in parts of Atlanta, where I grew up, you could go in certain parts of Atlanta where you saw the African-American doctor living in a nice home, or you had that family that was able to be well-to-do. You had those like Herman J. Russell, who started from nothing and built a major construction company. People like the brothers who ran the Pascal Brothers hotel at first. It became more of a meeting place for the civil rights. But there are opportunities we've had, but we've missed them because of we've gotten comfortable with people telling us you can't do that. Matter of fact, the opposite of faith is fear. And when we start to fear, the one thing I think, and I'll use this analogy. I was watching a podcast the other day, Shannon Sharp, who is from South Georgia. He had Rick Ross on his podcast. And I don't like his music, but the one thing I liked about him, he says, there is nothing I can't have. He says, when I take a meeting, I already know what I want. They look at me, they just see me as a black man, but I have a business sense about me that I know what I want, and you're not going to get me for less than that. Even in our community and community of color, we have to get to a place where we decide that this is no longer just a norm for me, where you can only have this much. We can only have that much. No. I don't just want to own one bank. I want to own a multiplicity of banks. Several years ago, back home in Georgia, Bishop Eddie Long and a couple of the churches got together in the DeKalb County area and created a black-owned credit union. And they asked every church in that area to take your money out of the regular banks, put it in this bank. Many of them did, many of them did not, because the ones who didn't, they're like, no, I got history with them. No, you don't have history with them. They've got history on you. And therefore, because you're afraid to step out of that boat in that box, you say, I can't go to y'all because I go to y'all. Y'all won't work me like they work me. No, they work with you, but they flipped you upside down. When we become comfortable, one thing we do, comfortability breeds stagnation. It's one thing to be comfortable when you're on the beach or you're on vacation. That's another thing. But when you're comfortable with where you live and it's rat infested, or you live in a neighborhood that's undesirable for your kids to be, or even go outside and play, when you are comfortable in a job you hate getting up, going to every morning, and you're putting in 40 hours a week and you know that's not your end result, or you're complacent or in a position where you say, well, I can't do any better, I can't have any more, and I'll just take what they give me. Then you're saying that what you're saying in essence is, I don't want any better, so therefore I'll be comfortable with the little crumbs I get, and those crumbs I'll make the best of. When you, in fact, you can have more than, you can have the crumbs and the meal that came with the crumb. So our comfort becomes a real complacency, especially when it comes to how we move in our community, how we move in other communities. It's amazing to me that our Latino brothers and sisters and those from the Asian community and Indian community, they come to America, even from Africa, they come to America. They get the American dream. They capitalize on it. They build on it. But yet we who live here, we say, well, nobody gonna help me. No, the way to destiny, the way to destiny is you got to decide for yourself, come hell, high water, live, swim, sink, or die, it's me getting to destiny. And I don't care what I got to do, how I got to get there. I'm not going to wait on you to give it to me, because again, open doors, they only stay open unless you start walking through them. They only close when you don't want to go through them.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Definitely, great, great insight again. You know, it kind of leads me to my next question, is the fact that, you know, in a lot of cases, it comes down to, you know, a willingness. And I think you were starting to get there. You know, we have to be willing. I mean, like you chimed in, you said, you know, we have other ethnicities and cultures that come over to our country, and, you know, they just gravitate to what we call the American dream. But you know, what I'm looking at here is the fact that we, as minorities, we've got to be willing. We got to be willing to face rejection, failure, feel uncomfortable, because that is necessary for us to grow. A lot of times, we will not push past that discomfort. And what I mean by that is we won't extend. You know, if we've made success or an inroads to success, we won't extend ourselves the opportunity to go back and try to help somebody else. We won't provide ourselves the fortitude to step back into our past, even though we know that's where we come from, in order to be able to build that up. And so when you think about that, what are some of the things that you would recommend to our listeners, particularly to our minority community, that we should do to kind of push past this discomfort? Because it's just like your bank analogy. You know, if we're going to excel in life and be a part of the game, we've got to do better in our own right. How do we do that?
Well, the first thing we got to do is be willing to take the risk of failure. Be willing to take the risk of failing. I'm getting ready after this podcast over. I do our weekly fireside chat with our church, and tonight I'm going to be dealing with this thing called despise not small beginnings. Unless you are a business owner who inherits millions of dollars, or you've come into a business where your family owns it, and you've been passed the golden spoon. The majority of businesses are scratched startup businesses. And the average business owner will tell you, if they will be honest, they failed more times than they succeeded. Because at every turn, there is a challenge. I think the problem has been, we must be willing to accept the fact that the challenge we're facing, it may cause us some discomfort. But discomfort is not bad. It's like when I go walking, when I'm working out, I feel that burn in my legs when I'm walking. I feel it. I'm sweating, and my legs are burning, and my body says, no, man, stop. Stop. But I know if I stop, the process of me starting over again is just as hard as if I just keep going. Right. So I think the first thing we must do is be willing to accept the fact that we may fail. Number two, be willing to take the risk of saying, if nobody else believes, I do. Be willing to say, I don't care if it's my wife, my husband, my children, my family, my friends, even my coworkers. It's not about them to see it. It's me to see it. It's so amazing because the Bible says we are to walk by faith, not by sight. The problem mm-hmm. has been we want to see stuff before we actually walk it out. Mm-hmm. Here's what destiny says. Destiny is that place that you know is there. You see it, but you don't know the journey it's going to take.
Right.
Because the between two mountains are always going to be a valley. Mm-hmm. Between two high peaks, there's always a low place. And the mm-hmm. low place is where you really learn and learn about your character. You learn about who you are as a person, whether it be business owner, ministry, life in general. It's in the valley that you learn who you really are, because anybody can live on the mountain, but you don't stay on that mountain because you got to go down at some point. So be willing, number one, to accept the fact that you're going to have some failures. Number two, be willing to take the risk of going. If you mean by yourself, don't give up. But then thirdly, be willing to bet on yourself. Mm-hmm. Bet mm-hmm. on you. I don't care what the odds are. I don't care what it looks like. Be willing to say, all of y'all don't have to like it, but I'm betting on me, because I know something is in me. Something is a part of my life that I got to get out, and I'm willing to bet on me even if nobody else does it but me. You got to be willing to take the risk to do as Peter did in the Bible. Get out the boat and walk on water. Nobody had ever walked on water ever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Peter did. But the catch is, did Peter walk on the water? Yes, but how did he walk? He walked on the fact that Jesus said to him, come. Mm-hmm. The only way we get there as a people, as a country, as a nation, is we got to be willing to obey the word come. Come out the boat, come out of the comfort, come out of the level of lackadaisicalness, come out of the point of saying, I think I'll wait. No. You want better, you got to do better. So that means I got to push more, drive more, want more, but more importantly, I've got to be willing to invest in me to say, whatever it takes for me to get there, I'm going in. I'm all in.
Right, right. Very well spoken, very well stated. You know, it reminds me of so many things that have happened in my past life, career-wise speaking, successes and failures. You know, obviously only having, $2 in my back pocket and family prayer, to keep me afloat and being able to, like you said, bet on yourself and know that you're going to come out of it, regardless of all the psychological depression and everything else that you're enduring as all the weight of the world is coming down on you. Absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, you just got to have that ability to believe in the good man above and be able to persevere and know that he's going to pull you through.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we're almost out of time, and there's just a couple other things that I want to capture, since this has been such a very insightful conversation. And one of them is another quote that I pull, which kind of goes along with what you just stated. The closer you get to excellence in your life, the more friends you will lose. People love when you are above average because it makes them feel comfortable. Excuse me, when you are average, it makes them feel comfortable. But when you pursue greatness, it makes people feel uncomfortable. So be prepared to lose some people along your journey. So for those of you that are out there that are listening to this podcast, that are wondering, you know, how to take action, just be very conscientious to what I just read to you, because a lot of us that have moved on in life, and it's not about materialistic or tangible worldly possessions, it's just about growth in self. We've lost a lot of people along the way, and we're not talking about in depth. We're just talking about in general. And so,
I want to put a pin right there because you said something important. Be willing to understand you're going to lose people. Mm-hmm. Greatness and excellence will decrease your friends list. It will decrease your invites to go out and hang out, because when you have a goal in mind, you realize that you can't hang out with the same people. It's amazing to me when you look at pigeons versus turkeys, chickens, and an eagle. Right. They're all fowl, but a pigeon is to me, and a bad analogy, but it's a bipolar bird because one minute it wants to be 1 minute up on a line, next minute on the ground, 1 minute on a building, 1 minute on the ground. A chicken ain't going, they don't rid out of the game. They don't realize they can fly. They want to. They don't want to fly. Turkeys, they gobble. But an eagle never lands low. They always keep, they live high, they soar high, and when they come, they come down only to eat, and they never stop. It's emotional movement to continue going up. We got to know, are we eagles or are we going to be pigeons?
Yeah, good analogy. Good analogy. So as we're wrapping up there, Michael, any final words or final remarks you'd like to leave with our listeners pertaining to this subject?
I want to share with something that, since you kind of gave me some quotes, then that really blessed my heart. There was something that I heard some years ago from a friend of mine who passes back home in Atlanta. He said, be willing to know when the season of carrying people is over. Because we've carried people, and sometimes we've carried people way too long, and we've carried them to a point where we thought that we needed them. And one thing about it is I discovered is even in this season of our lives, when we talk about soaring to destiny and going, it's like going to certain places that have high altitude. They tell you, to come in a little earlier so your body can adjust to the climate of where you're going. If you are going to invest in your mind, you're going to invest in your life. If you're going to invest in your future, you start by investing in what it takes you to get there. Your mindset, your everything that's about destiny starts with your mindset and your vocabulary. You think high, you talk high. If you walk high, you live high. It doesn't matter if you have a dime in your pocket or you sit there and you can't even put two nickels together. The scripture says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." That means I'm telling everybody who's listening right now, your assignment in life is not to carry dead weight. It's to carry destiny, because what's in you is no good to you until it comes out of you.
Very well. Very well. So as we're getting ready to close out here, we like to kind of extend an opportunity for our listeners, if they want to reach out to you for consultancy services or anything like that, how would they go about doing that based on, getting in contact with you?
Well, there's two ways you can do that. You can I'm on Facebook, and my Facebook page is Bishop Michael Nesby. You can also reach me through our church page, which is the Gathering of Believers Church. You can also reach me I'm on Instagram as well, Bishop M.B. Nesby. And then you can also reach me at michaelnesbyministries@gmail.com.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. All right, to our listeners, again, this has been a very inspiring conversation. Certainly want to thank Bishop Michael Nesby for participating. This has been episode 76, kicking off season 4, entitled "Your Comfort is an Enemy to Your Destiny." Thank you, everyone, for listening. God bless. Be safe. Take care, and bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you, and catch you on the next episode.